So we are in the June summer series, and the theme for this month has been devoted. Tonight we have a special guest speaker. His name is Michael Green. Mike Green serves as the Dean of the Students at the Southeast Institute of Biblical Studies. He holds a BBS in Biblical Studies from the Bear Valley Bible Institute of Denver and an MA in New Testament from Ambridge University. He is currently pursuing further graduate studies at Fried Hartman University. He has preached since 2004 for churches in Florida, Washington, Kentucky, and Virginia. He and his wife, Natalie, have been married 24 years and have 6 children, a real patriot. Noah, Madison, Mackenzie, Nathan, Nehemiah, and Meredith. Mike enjoys spending time with his family, fly fishing in the Smokies, watching Red Sox baseball, and playing with his golden retriever, Boston. Brother Mike, you're welcome, and as we say in these occasions, preach the word, brother. Okay.
Thank you, Brother Artan. I appreciate that. He introduced himself to me and was rolling his R's. I said, I can't do that. I was born in West Virginia. We don't roll our R's in West Virginia. So, oh man, it's so good to be with you all tonight. You feel so far away. So I might be tempted to come down there and walk around a little bit. But, I don't know. I've got a few questions worked in here tonight. I'm giving you sort of an advanced warning. You go to a new church, you don't know if they're talkers or not. You figure that out in a hurry if you ask a question and it's silent for about 10 seconds. So I'm just letting you know, if I ask you to read scripture or if I ask a question, feel free to join in. Just because I'm standing up here and I'm behind a podium and you're out there, don't feel like you can't answer. But I didn't wear proper hearing protection when I was in the military, so I'm kind of hard of hearing. And so if you're in the back there, make sure you talk to me nice and loud. And I did hear the fact that Travis introduced me as wonderful or said I was wonderful. Isn't that something? So I don't know about this preacher of yours. So no, I appreciate Travis so much. I knew Travis, or I should say I met Travis in 2007 when I was in Denver, Colorado, and I was finishing up some studies at the Bear Valley Bible Institute, and he was a student there. That was back before he and Lauren were married and had kids and any of those sorts of things. But I got to say, I really appreciate the man that he's become. You guys have a wonderful preacher. Back then, he was a fantastic young man, knew him and his brother, which I think I saw that Garrett's going to be out next week, I think that it is. And so I enjoyed it was really only about 9 months that I spent some time there with Travis. But I really enjoyed getting to know him, and he always just struck me as a very fun, loving, happy-go-lucky, but a very serious person when it came to preaching. And it's just always encouraging. I love the church so much. I'm going to talk about fellowship tonight, so you're going to hear a lot sort of along these same lines. But I love going places and seeing the way that God and His providence works through relationships. You just never know what life's going to hold. And when I knew Travis in Denver, Colorado, you know, half the country away, you know, it never occurred to me that we would live in, you know, 50 miles, well, not even 50 miles, you know, maybe 20 miles from one another, relatively in the same town. And so I appreciate him so much and appreciate the good work that he's doing with this congregation. Now, don't tell him any of that, okay? So I don't want him to get the big head. So I just appreciate Travis so much. And I'm sorry that my family is not here tonight. Love my family very much. We've been in Arizona the past 2 weeks. Brother Ron, I think it was, you're having some allergies. I haven't met a tree that I didn't like until I met the ponderosa pine tree, which hates me. In Flagstaff, I could barely breathe. And so fortunately, we're staying a little further south in Sedona. And it was beautiful down there, but they don't have any ponderosa pines down there, which is a good thing. So for the past 2 weeks, I sounded exactly like you. So I'm glad to be back around some Tennessee allergies instead of some Arizona allergies. But they're back at our home congregation of Carnes, and they have some obligations tonight, and so they couldn't be here. You may meet my son Noah, who is a City of Maryville fire. You could tell I lived in Maryville before. I said Maryville. Did you see that? I didn't say Maryville, right? So, but he's a firefighter here in the City of Maryville. He is, I guess, going on 6 or 7 months now. He's been in the department. Currently, he's in Wisconsin doing some military training, and we're really proud of him. He's competing next month in the National Soldier of the Year competition in Vermont, which is a very big deal. So we're very proud of him. He's a combat engineer. And so if you fall down and you can't get back up, right? That's what I said. What is the gist of a firefighter in your first 6 months? He said, well, Dad, it's like this. I go help people get up who've fallen down. He didn't know that about a firefighter. But if you fall down, you might meet Noah, my son, who will come and help you get picked up. So, all right, that's enough of just some pleasantries. I'm just so thankful to have a chance to study the Bible with you tonight. Let's get into some scripture. Open your Bible, if you would, please, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 37. The topic tonight is the topic of fellowship. And so we're going to begin just with reading a few passages of scripture. Because in order to understand this very important topic, the best way to do it is to be concerned with understanding it in its scriptural sense. We may have an understanding or think we have an understanding of fellowship, but we really need to understand it in its biblical sense. And so we're focusing in on that passage, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, where you see four very important Christian practices, we'll call them, in the early church there. Tonight, the one we're focusing on is that of fellowship. So let's just read our Bible together. And as you read, I want you to think about this question. What is fellowship? Okay? Just think about that question. What is fellowship? Let's read the Bible now. Acts chapter 2, and let's just begin in verse 37 and read through the end of the chapter there. Verse 37 says, and I'm using the New American Standard Bible just in case you're curious. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to the number day by day those who are being saved. Open your Bible now to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And again, I want to ask you to ask this question. What is fellowship? 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. All right, one more passage to read together. Open your Bible, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And again, one more time, I would ask you to ask this question as you read. What is fellowship? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 12 and read down through chapter 7 and verse 1. You were not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections. Now, in a like exchange, I speak as to children. Open wide to us also. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you. And you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. All right, so my goal tonight is not going to be, obviously, to do a complete survey of this topic of fellowship. In fact, what I hope to do, and it remains to be seen whether I accomplish this, but what I hope to do is to sort of lay a framework or a groundwork, rather, for you to maybe have some discussions in your home, with your fellow Christians, maybe a group of Christians, in a small group type setting, about fellowship and what it really is, And I'm going to leave you with that tonight. So just to kind of prepare you where we're going in the next 20 minutes or so, and I've got to talk fast. I thought I had 45, and Travis texted me yesterday and said, you got 30. I was like, okay. We'll do what we can, man. So, but that's sort of my goal tonight. So I've already asked you to consider this question, but I want you to just keep that in the back of your mind throughout this lesson. What is fellowship? Do we have a proper understanding of what fellowship is? And if you'll give me just a second to monologue, if you would, from a personal standpoint of what I think fellowship is, or why it's significant to me, coming from my background, I would appreciate it. Not that you have a choice, right? I'm up here talking and you're sitting there, but I had intended to just ask some of you to let me know what your thoughts were on fellowship, but I don't think I'm going to have time tonight. So, first of all, when you think of the word fellowship, how do we use it sometimes in the church? We're having a what? A potluck fellowship. You ever heard that before? Right? Or if you're down south, St. Augustine, Florida, where my wife grew up in the church there, it was dinner on the grounds. I never understood that until I realized they used to eat dinner on the grounds. And I thought, why in the world would you do that in Florida? You have fire ants. But that's what they called it, right? Dinner on the grounds, right? But it was called a fellowship, a potluck fellowship. Okay, first of all, I hope that we can see just in reading the scriptures that we did, fellowship goes much deeper than just eating. And sometimes I think it's one of those words that, I don't want to use a word like churchy, but it's one of those words that we use it in the church in a certain way, but we really don't use it in the culture in that way, right? And so picture yourself as maybe a non-Christian, somebody that didn't grow up in the church. I didn't grow up in the church, so this word fellowship was something that I had to get acclimated to understand what it meant. Because sometimes you might get the impression that Christians use this word fellowship to talk about when we get together and hang out, right? Could you see that? When Christians get together, what do? We fellowship, right? That's what it means when we get together. We fellowship. But again, it's deeper than that. And over 25 years being a member of the Lord's church, not having any of my immediate earthly family, the church has become, in every way, my family. You know, my wife and I, we lived 10 years in Seattle, Washington, 5 years military, 5 years in the ministry. We've been in Denver. We've been in Richmond, Virginia, most recently, before we moved here. We've lived all over the place. And everywhere we have been, I have developed deep, meaningful relationships with people who were Christians. And we were connected. I'm connected with those people in every way that my children and I have a relationship. We are family. Now, I think that just on the surface, that's getting closer to the idea of what we mean by fellowship. And we're going to start to unpack that word a little bit more in just a few minutes. But I think on the most important level, when it comes to understanding fellowship, what I have come to is this: we are in fellowship with God by virtue of being a Christian. Jesus Christ makes it possible for us to be in partnership, in communion with God. And that's so significant. In fact, we're going to end tonight. I might just stop and read this verse with 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12, which just says that explicitly. The Trinity, or the Godhead, is present. And the words, we are the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, is present in that text. And so for me, as I've grown in my understanding of the faith, fellowship is much deeper than potlucks and Christians just getting together and hanging out and playing, Uno or something like that together. It's this unique relationship that I have with other people that I don't have with anybody else on the face of the earth. But more importantly, it's that line that I have with God. It's that unique relationship that Christians have with God. And to me, that's so significant. I feel so, grateful, indebted, because I didn't grow up in that. And when I was a young adult, I came into that, and I've grown into that. And so in every way, I love the fellowship that I experience. But that doesn't really, that's my experience and my understanding of fellowship on a very surface level, but that doesn't really answer the question from a biblical sense, what we mean by fellowship. So let's get into that in the remainder of this lesson tonight. Maybe some of you have had some of those experiences. I was anticipating hearing some of those things shared back to me, and I would wager to say that some of you have had some of those experiences as well. All right, so this question of what fellowship is, though, it provokes some harder questions as well. Questions like, who am I in fellowship with? Right? Or, how do we recognize fellowship? How do we recognize who I'm in fellowship with and who I'm not in fellowship with? Or, what does it mean, and this one's hard, to break fellowship? Or what we've sometimes called in the past, in the sphere or realm of church discipline, disfellowshipping someone. Right? Those are hard questions. I think anybody in here can understand that those are difficult questions, but they're all related by this idea or this concept of fellowship. And these are all much more serious questions than, whether we're eating together in a potluck. So let's start here as we seek a better understanding of this in the time that we have left. I'm sure that you are aware, at least most of you are aware, that the New Testament was not written in English. It was written in the Greek language, specifically a type of Greek called Koine, or it's just another word for common Greek. Like English, Koine Greek in the first century was the language of commerce. If you wanted to do commerce throughout the Roman Empire. You spoke Koine Greek. And so like nearly all New Testament words, this word fellowship was available for use in day-to-day language. And unlike this word fellowship, which we do use to a certain extent in the English language, but for the most part, we reserve our use of fellowship in English to the religious sphere or realm. But in ancient Greek, Koine Greek, they would have used this particular word to describe various kinds of relationships. For example, a business partnership would just simply be called a fellowship. They share a common interest. Or it may be used of one's civic duty. In other words, you are in fellowship with the state, and the state was in fellowship with you. You have mutual interests that you share. So this concept of fellowship would have been applied. It was used of the marriage relationship. You are in fellowship with your spouse. You share a mutual interest in that relationship, and therefore you're in fellowship. It was even used in a religious sense, where you are in fellowship with the gods, and particularly in the pagan culture, being in fellowship with the gods meant courting their favor. Because there were all these gods, and what you wanted to do was to court the favor of the god that was most influential of the day. And you may say that you were in fellowship with that god. Now, I want you to notice this one key idea. The thing that binds all of those usages together, whether it's marriage or business or even in a religious sense, is the idea of mutual interest. There's a shared interest. And that's really important to understanding the concept of fellowship. Now, here's what was fascinating about me in studying this as I was doing some reading. When we ask ourselves, what about in the Old Testament in Jewish culture, if you read the New American Standard, the New King James, even the English Standard Version, don't do it now, but sometime go look up how many times fellowship occurs in the Old Testament. You know how many times it occurs in the New American Standard? Once in the Old Testament. That's curious. So I started exploring that a little bit, and I thought, well, why is that the case? Well, the reason is because the idea of people being in fellowship with God is just not a Jewish idea. We might use the term liberal to describe that idea in Judaism. They would have said, that's nonsense. That's liberal talk, or that's foolish talk. That kind of information is just nonsense. People can't be in fellowship with God. And so when you read throughout the Old Testament, there's an intentional sense of distance between people and a holy God. And by the way, everything in the Jewish religion reinforced this, didn't it? In order to go to God, who did you have to go through in the Old Testament? Priests, right? And even the priests before that, not all of them went into the Holy of Holies. They had to go into the Holy of Holies and be cleansed. And so there were these walls of partition or separation between the Jewish people and their God. And so there's this interesting lack of a description of fellowship between people and their God in the Old Testament. And so here's two major takeaways that I want you to just grab hold of from this very brief word study of fellowship before we look at Acts 2:42 specifically. Number one, we get this picture in ancient Greek culture of the word fellowship that it carried with it the idea of sharing of mutual interest. And then secondly, it's interesting to note the lack of that concept in the Old Testament. Now, it's as you read further in the New Testament, you'll see how Christianity and the gospel really adapts this concept of shared mutual interest and overcomes those barriers that are found in Jewish religion and allows human beings to not only share in a common interest with one another, but have direct fellowship with God, and that's only possible through Jesus, his son. It's a fascinating study. But look at Acts chapter 2. If you're still in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, flip your Bible back over to Acts chapter 2 for a few moments. Just so I know, one of the elders or somebody here tonight, what time do you guys usually stop? What time does Travis be quiet? So we're not a talker. We're not a talking congregation. Okay. See, I told you you'd figure that out in a hurry, right? So 45. Okay. Whew. Okay. Let's go Dale Earnhardt on this. Let's go. All right. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Let's talk about fellowship in Acts 2:42 for just a second, okay? So in Acts 2:42, it's actually the first occurrence in the New Testament of this concept or idea of fellowship that I was just describing to you, okay? And in fact, we see the second occurrence of it, even though it's not the exact same word, in Acts 2:44. If you want to just drop your eyeballs down there to Acts 2:44, where it says that all those who had believed were together and they had, what's it say? In my Bible, it says, all things in common together. That's the concept or the idea of fellowship. The first word is koinonia in the Greek. The second word is koinos in the Greek. You can see they sound very similar because they come from the same family of words. It's the same concept. And this is the first occurrence of these words in the New Testament. So what was going on there in Pentecost? Well, you had all of these people that were Jews that came from all over the world, and where they came from is actually enumerated here in Acts chapter 2. And they're gathered there for what purpose? They're gathered there for the Passover, and they would stay an extra basically 49 days plus 150 days on the 50th day after Passover was the celebration of Pentecost. And it was on the day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit came down upon the apostles and they preached the gospel and salvation was offered to humanity for the first time in Jesus' name. That's Acts chapter 2, 37 and 38. And so if you're unfamiliar with your New Testament and you're here tonight, this is the beginning of Christianity. This is the beginning of the church, if you would. And then after that preaching, as it is, some 3,000 were told were baptized. It could have been more, but we're told at least 3,000 were baptized. Now think about how significant that was, right? Think about the context of what's happening here. They were in Jerusalem to practice their religion. All of the things associated with their faith in God via Judaism. And then they hear this preaching and they turn, they convert is the word that we would use. They convert from one religion to another religion. That's so much more significant than saying, well, I'm not going to go to Olive Garden, we're going to go to, you know, Texas Roadhouse. It's not even on the same sphere of just, you know, choosing one choice over another. Basically, they took everything about their relationship with God and they changed it. And so these people now were separate. They were distinct from everything that they had known prior to that. And so all they literally had was each other in this particular moment, right? And so they were in fellowship, the Bible tells us, with one another. And what did they do? Well, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 says, immediately after converting, they were no longer practicing Judaism. But those four things that we read about in Acts 2:42 is actually the first description of the practice of Christianity. Read it again with me, if you would, very quickly. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. This is a description of the early practice of Christianity with those first converts there in Jerusalem. And what this means is they were in partnership worshiping God in the same way as opposed to the old way that they were worshiping God, that is the Jewish way. And what we see then is this religious partnership, this devotion to God results in devotion to one another. That's what Acts 2:44 is describing. Once they were devoted to God and they were practicing this new religion in this way, Acts 2:44 says that, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. How so? Well, they began sharing. See, that's mutual interest. They began sharing with one another. They began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. And so, first of all, fellowship meant they were in partnership worshiping God together, but it also means that they had fellowship with one another and they practiced their new faith towards one another by sharing accordingly. Now, can I just tell you before I get to the end of this and I don't have time, this was probably the thing in the study that challenged me personally the most. When I thought about, you know, eating a potluck meal with my fellow Christians, and I thought about coming to church, sitting in a building like this and worshiping together and calling that fellowship, I thought to myself, Mike, if that's the limit of your fellowship, you're selling your brethren short. Right? If that's all fellowship is to you, bringing a casserole and eat and worshiping in a building together, you're selling yourself, or rather, you're selling the brethren short. And so if I could share another personal reflection, the way this study challenged me, it challenged me to say, you know what? If God has extended fellowship and blessed me so abundantly, then in order to claim true Christian fellowship, I need to reciprocate that towards my brethren. My sharing and my mutual interest that I share with my brethren needs to be generous. It needs to be overflowing with generosity in the way that God's generosity is overflowing towards me. That challenged me. It challenged me to push back against low standards of fellowship. To consider everything from my contribution, my giving, to the time that I spend with my church family, to the how much time I spend in devoting to their needs and concerns and prayer and otherwise. It challenged me in that way. Let me give you three things real quick before I run out of time, and I'm going to sort of sum this up. Maybe they'll invite me back for a part two. I don't know. But three things about Acts chapter 2 that I want to just touch on. It's not possible, first of all, for us to recreate the Acts 2 situation, and we shouldn't try. There's only one beginning of the church, right? And the situation was unique. They were from all over the world. They were gathered there and to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. And then, boom, Holy Spirit falls. They become Christians. That was totally unique. But what I want you to see and what I want you to look at further in the New Testament as you personally study further about fellowship is how what they did there in Acts 2 grows into a consistent Christian practice. Fellowship, then, is something we all need to be practicing as Christians consistently with one another and towards God. Number two, I think it's of utmost importance to grasp how becoming a Christian meant the practice of a new way of being in fellowship with God. And then number three, equally, it's of utmost importance to grasp how becoming a Christian meant the practice of a new way of being in fellowship with other Christians, other people. Right? And that's sort of the significant part that we need to keep in mind about fellowship. And as I close out my lesson, let me just mention a few things that are significant. I've already mentioned the idea of a deeper sense of sharing things. Because I'm in fellowship with God, and because I'm in fellowship with you all, sharing of my things, sharing of my time, sharing of me with you, that's such an important part. But then it's keeping in mind the significance of those other religious things. Like, for example, the Lord's Supper. Why is it so important that we gather in this building or we gather in some place and we worship together on the first day of the week and we take the Lord's Supper? Well, because the New Testament says when we do that in some mysterious way that's hard to explain, we are We are in fellowship with God and with one another in that moment. And that's why Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16 makes a distinction. How can you say that you're in fellowship with God and break the bread with one another and then break the bread with idols? You can't have it both ways, Corinthians. Or how about Paul's idea that when we suffer the way that Jesus suffered, Philippians 3 verse 10, that we are actually in fellowship with Jesus in his sufferings. See, there's another way that I was challenged in this study. I had to ask myself, have I suffered for Jesus? Could I claim that I am in fellowship with his sufferings? Paul could. And he said that when we suffer for Jesus, we are in fellowship with his sufferings. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing then, right? And so let me, I didn't get to 1 John chapter 1 tonight, and I wanted to. But go back in your own time and read through 1 John chapter 1 with sort of this groundwork that I just laid. And think about the idea of how significant it is that we are in fellowship with God. And how significant it is that we are in fellowship with one another. You know, tonight we just scratched the surface. And I want to challenge you tonight, as I said that I would, to spend some time with your brethren and discuss these matters of fellowship. And don't shy away from the hard questions. Don't shy away from the questions about, well, who are we in fellowship with? Or what does it really mean to be in fellowship? Or who can't I be in fellowship with? Answer those questions. Explore those questions. Because our salvation, our integrity as a church is all rooted in this idea of fellowship. Having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and having a relationship with others who have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You know, there's great encouragement, I think, in knowing that we are in fellowship with God. Amen? I mean, what a tremendous blessing to know that I'm in fellowship with God. And there's great blessing in knowing we are in fellowship with others who are in fellowship with God. Knowing that I'm part of God's family. That the relationships I share with these people are so special. And that's what Jesus had planned for his church. I told you I would end with this passage, and I will, and I'll take my seat. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. Just one verse. It says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." I really appreciate your kind attention tonight. I appreciate Travis and I appreciate the elders allowing me to come down and to have this study with you tonight. I do apologize for not being able to get through all of my material tonight, but hopefully that has provoked some thoughts in your mind about this topic of fellowship. And I just pray that you are blessed as a congregation and as a people of God. And I pray that the next couple of speakers that you have will unpack Acts 2:42 in a deeper way to help you have a deeper knowledge of the Word of God. I thank you so much for your attention tonight.